Good morning, folks. It is now 4:58 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Welcome to another episode of the Dead Man's Coffee Club. I'm Tyler Fleming. This is Anthony Fisher. What up, doe?
What's going on?
So, this episode, folks, we went back to the Binder of Binders, and which these binders are full of our plans for our master plans.
World domination.
Yep, world domination and how to put together a highly profitable and listened to podcast, for sure. Not
we're succeeding.
We're succeeding. All four of you that listen, we appreciate it.
Thanks.
Four is better than two, right? Anyway, so today we're going to talk about marriage, relationships, that sort of thing. Because hopefully, if you're on time, it's Mother's Day. And
if not, this is a rude reminder to you that, hey, today's Mother's Day.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you probably should say, thanks for giving birth to me, to your mother, regardless of what your relationship status is with them. And if you are married or in a relationship with the person who is a mother, regardless if you are married or not to them, you should thank them for being a good human and allowing you to be a parent. Anyway, let's kick it off, sir.
Yeah, so when we were doing our Q&A episode, one of the questions that we received didn't really fit the scope of what we wanted to cover in that episode. And so it was one of those things that I wanted to revisit, but I'd like to do it in a way that hopefully is more beneficial to the person asking. So they asked us what our best and worst advice that we have received regarding marriage was. And we've both been given our fair share of bad advice. And I think that for us, what we'd like to do on this episode is kind of create a little bit of context for anyone listening as to kind of how our relationships became and blossomed, and then kind of get into the reality of marriage and our hopes for our marriages.
Because it's not all Instagrams, people.
It's not all Instagram, guys. That is a lie. Instagram is a lie. It is a highlight reel of your life. Insta story is a highlight reel of your day. If you can curate it, you've had time to edit out all the bad shit, or at least tame it. And so this is not, hopefully this is not that. Hopefully this is a more candid and honest conversation about maybe how unromantic we are or how forgetful we are. But at the end of the day, very hopeful that, you know,
we are.
We want to be better. And
that's why we're doing this thing in general, people.
All this context is kind of providing the why to, why we would even want to strive for better or for more. So I can kick it off.
Go for it, man.
I moved up to Atlanta in 2006 to go to Georgia State to begin to pursue a degree. And in the process of pursuing that degree, I was an idiot, and I lost my scholarship just because I wasn't tending to my coursework the way that I should have. And so what that meant for me is that now, instead of just being able to be a student, I had to start working. So I took the first job that I could get, and there was a Smoothie King on campus at the time. And I just went in one day and asked that they were hiring, and within like 3 days I had interviewed and was behind the register. And I think I was at that store for about 2.5 years, going to school and working there. And it was convenient because it was under one of the campus buildings. And so students would frequent that store in between classes, getting their god-awful drinks that they thought were healthy. Guys, don't go to Smoothie King. It's bad for you.
What? You're saying they're not like the connoisseurs of health?
Yeah, I'm saying
Jesus, man. It's all a lie.
Those, I'm telling you, man, Instagram, they're lying to you. If your strawberries are frozen and in a strawberry syrup, I can pretty much guarantee you that the rest of the drink is shit. But that's just a PSA regarding where you get your smoothies sold. Back to the subject.
Sorry.
No, you're fine. But my wife was one of those students who would
get shitty smoothies,
come in, get a really shitty drink, and then go to class. And we had kind of like an employee cup that we were allowed, you know, throughout the day. And so she would always come in. It was, you know, it was pretty regular. And so I eventually just like would give her like my employee cup for the day, just, you know, just being nice. Like, I wasn't really trying to flirt with her at all. She was a nice person, and I did think she was cute, but I am an idiot, and I'm completely oblivious to when anyone is trying to flirt with me, even to this day. And so, like, I just didn't think that, you know, okay, this means much. It was a nice gesture. And so then she asked for a job, and I told her no, because it was a terrible place to work. And yet she still came back, and eventually I was in another relationship. And this relationship was actually one that I was taking really seriously, and I had plans and anticipation of actually marrying this woman. You know, I had even gone to like a relationship workshop for like 5 weeks at her church with her. Like we were going real steady, and I was also becoming more and more unhappy with the relationship and just kind of how it was panning out. Because as we grew in our relationship, I realized how much of our perspective and our worldview was so far off from one another that it started to kind of create strife. And so things kind of soured over time. And yet, I've developed, at this point, I've developed a friendship with my now wife, and you know, eventually the relationship that I was in kind of collapsed, and I'm, you know, just trying to pick up the pieces, and I'm friends with my now wife, who wants to be in a relationship with me, but I can't seem to come to a place where I'm comfortable with the idea of it. You know, just because, you know, I'm fresh out of this very serious relationship, and I'm such an honor-bound individual. Like, that's kind of been my downfall. It's the weirdest thing that would be my downfall, but like I'm so like dead set on like respect and honor, and I was trying to make sure that I was even before we were dating, I was protecting her heart, and it almost resulted in, like, I waited so long that it almost resulted in her just completely writing herself out of the picture.
Yeah.
The day before I asked her to coffee to talk to her about beginning a relationship and a journey together, she had breakfast with one of our mutual friends and legitimately expressed that she was ready to throw in the towel.
Yeah.
And that same day, I just kind of get this, like, Paul on the road to Damascus sort of, like, get knocked off my horse and have this, like, huge spiritual epiphany that, like, hey, dude, if you don't make this work, like, if you don't initiate this now, you're really going to regret that decision. And I think, you know, to this day, if I dare to say that I've ever audibly heard the voice of God, it was in that moment, because it was that real to me. I remember where we were. I remember where, like, I remember being in the back seat of my friend Travis's Honda Civic on our way to lunch in Decatur, Georgia. And I'm sitting there zoning out, and it just kind of, like, hits me. And so I immediately ask her to coffee. And that day, like, there's just so much relief on both of our ends, because, like, we realized what I had been avoiding and kind of what she was really hoping for.
Yeah.
And it was able to like, we were able to find some closure, but in a way where we were able to you know, begin our relationship. And from that point on, it was just, I don't know, it's been the most rewarding human relationship that I've ever been in. You know, when people talk about, you know, marrying your best friend and all that, you know, jazz, my wife is legitimately the best friend that I have, like, in so many respects. And yeah, I just, I'm happy that things took the course that they did.
Yeah.
But along the way, and, you know, into marriage and now into parenting together, I've learned a lot more about myself and about just the nature of relationships. And so I'm going to stop rambling and let you take over.
That was good, man. Good.
Thanks.
Good, thanks, good, bro. So, this is interesting. So I was telling Anthony right before we got started, since I've ever dated anyone, I've, sorry, back up. When I was younger, when I was in middle school, my parents split up. And I think I took it kind of hard. And I think that influenced my perspective on relationships a great deal. And I kind of had a perspective on them that was maybe not the greatest, right? Every relationship was like, and I didn't date a lot, but like I was like, oh yeah, this is gonna be the one, you know?
Yeah.
And just prior, well, no. So for the whole story, I moved back from New Mexico. I was in New Mexico for a year, and about halfway through that time, met someone who lived near Detroit, and when that program was no longer, decided I was going to move here to continue that relationship. And in the fall of the year that I moved back, I have tattoos. Tattoos are cool. And so there was an opportunity for us to get some tattoos. And so when we actually drew the tattoo, that little heart deal that's around my elbow, and stands for a lot of things, but that and Serve the People are the ones I got. And so we go to this art gallery, and like we meet the lady who's gonna tattoo us, and like it was the best tattooing experience I had ever had.
Yeah.
And because some tattoo artists in my experience have not been kind, and not like, it's just like what's that?
So definitely.
Yeah, yeah. It's not been like the most pleasant experience. Like there's one other person that's tattooed me that like was not an asshole. And so that was, you know, in the fall, and then somewhere in mid late spring, the relationship I was in ran its course.
Yeah.
And we decided to go our separate ways. And actually, this makes sense. Here we go. Ready? Prepare for last episode to come into this episode. Ready? So I went to this park.
Oh, man.
And I went for a walk, and a long walk, because my foot wasn't broken, so I went for a long walk. And I found myself at this table, and I laid down on top of the table, and the sun was coming through, and I was just imagining in my mind, you know, like all the things that I wanted in my life, and the things that mattered, and the things that were important, and all that stuff, and where I wanted to live, and, you know, I wanted to do something that I was active, but like just the framework we talked about last week, right? I was in my mind thinking about, like, envisioning the physical embodiment of that. And I said, okay, well, I have to decide to commit to this, right? To commit to this this perspective shift, right? Because if I don't pay attention, then I can fall back into old ways. And that could be an old relationship or whatever, too, right? And so I call back up the artist. Well, text, because that's a thing. And start planning out what became my sleeve, right? And so we had both been in relationships when we met, and then our relationships both went their separate ways. And then we met for the planning meeting, and she was a little late, so she sent a text, I'm going to be a little latte. I thought that was funny. And we did the tattoo session, which was eventually, we did that, and it was 4 hours. And if you haven't had a tattoo, you know, at that 4 hour mark, it's getting a little tough. But during the whole tattoo experience, we were talking, and just having a really good conversation about life and like our previous relationships and just how, like, whatever, just talk about life, because that's what the tattoos are about, whatever.
Yeah.
And when the tattoo was over, I took a nap because I was in pain, and she left, and I get a text like there's an art show tomorrow. Do you want to go? And I was like, sure. Yeah, sounds good. So it was not a date. In our mind, it was not a date. There was no planned dinner. There's nothing. Right? So we call it our non-date. And we went, and we ended up getting there before the art show, and we were hungry because it's like 6, because it's dinner time-ish. And so we went to this Thai place, and I just remember smiling, like really just smiling the whole time we were eating and laughing and like just enjoying things, not like worrying about it. And long story short, right, we had a good non-date going to the art gallery, and we decided eventually to pursue the thing, but there wasn't a whole lot of pressure to it, and that was a nice place to start a relationship, was for me, right, was like having fun skateboarding in like parking lots and like just doing like going to art galleries, trying new restaurants, getting coffee, just doing things that because I'm also a very honored standard and whatever based person, right? And so I'm like, oh, I gotta be frugal, I gotta do all, like a very serious person I am. And so I hadn't really allowed myself to enjoy life in a long time. And everything was super serious and all that. And this person, who's now my wife, my partner and my adventure buddy and all these, like, she's just the best and has pushed me mentally and emotionally to grow. Invited me, rather, to grow so much, and sees me in such a better light than I do, and believes that I'm capable of so much more, and like gets more pissed off than I do when people mistreat me or undervalue me or all those things, you know. That's kind of where that's the context for, and like that. I'll just say it here, so if, you know, any of these people happen across this, right? There were people who did not agree with our courtship, our dating, our relationship, and some tough decisions had to be made as far as, like, people who I was going to continue being friends with and communicating with and all that stuff, and who I wasn't.
Right.
And, it was tough. There were tough moments, but I think I wouldn't have it any other way. Because when the time was right, we had an awesome wedding, and we've dove in to this marriage thing. I don't know when you guys got married. We got married 2015, so it'll be 3 years here in like a month. And
12 for us.
And so it's just wow, you guys have been married a long time. So it's just been a really cool thing. And I'm an idiot and terrible at it, but I'm working at it, and I'm so thankful for my wife's patience as I, you know, grow into this thing. But I think, and if you don't mind, I'm going to just swing into some thoughts here.
Go for it,
please. I was telling Anthony, there were some years where I didn't think I wanted to get married. And I just didn't know if it was important, right? Like, I knew I wanted to be with one person for a long time, but I wasn't sure if I wanted to get married. And that said, I took relationships seriously, but I just wasn't sure how I felt about it. Even if I, like, verbally said, like, marriage could be a thing, like, I still wasn't sure how I felt about it. And, but I think, for me at least, because that's the only perspective I have, is it's a is a cool opportunity to commit to do this thing called life with a person. And kind of just go through the whole thing, like the whole deal with them.
Yeah.
Right. You know, I've lost both grandparents with, well, both remaining grandparents with my wife. We've had a kid, we've bought a house, like and we haven't done the whole thing. We're just getting started, but like, it's the person. The person, as my wife said, like 2 weeks into our relationship, or a week, you're my person, which I guess is a thing from a show like that. You know, it's your person to do this thing with, and that means that there's going to be some times, right? That like Anthony and I are not going to have those moments with each other. We could in the day to day, we can have tough moments, but there's probably not going to be anyone who sees you in the way that your partner does.
Right. And to think too that, I mean, no matter how you want to look at it, you know, just to kind of put it in plain terms so that we can kind of drive this point home, you know, you are contractually obligated to someone. You know, at the end of the day, I am, you know, I certainly don't look at it as a contract.
Right.
As, you know, as much as I view myself as being bound to someone else. And so any decision that I make directly affects this person that I'm bound to. Whereas, you know, with this relationship, you know, while you and I are, you know, we're good friends, the decisions that I make on a daily basis don't affect you at all.
Nope.
And I think it's so funny because people are strange, and I guess I'm just really weird, and I guess I just kind of stick out like a sore thumb. But I'm, you know, just kind of on this whole idea of being bound. You know, one thing that I have always made it a habit of doing, to the point where now it's expected by my employer, by my friends, with any decision, it doesn't matter how big or how small. With any decision, the first thing that I always say is,
let me talk to my wife.
It could simply be, hey, do you want to go to lunch tomorrow? Let me talk to my wife. And that's because the decisions that I make directly affect this individual in a way that it doesn't affect anyone else. So I could easily say yes, but then I could also be overlooking any plans that my wife has or maybe wants to have with me.
Right.
And so, like, in any decision, be it work-related or be it, you know, social, you know, everything just kind of goes through her by way of just open communication, because I respect that human relationship, and it is the most important and binding relationship in my life.
And I think I would be remiss if I didn't say that while that is my intention, I have had a tendency to also not fold under pressure, but also weigh in other people's perspective, which doesn't, at the end of the day, doesn't actually matter. And because the person that I have to figure this stuff out with is my wife, right? And so while people can have their perspectives on what job I should have or what how anything happens, the person who, like you said, not to make it about a contract, but you're contractually obligated to do it, the thing with, is, you know, our wives. And that's and I'm, there's, you know, I have other reasons why I, like, wasn't super keen on, like, the idea of marriage. Like, you know, do I, there's a line by, like, probably my favorite rapper who's like, a man's still a man, but a woman's just a role, right? Like, that's, and in a marriage, right, taking on the idea of, like, man and wife, right? That's how they say it when people get married. So, like, to kind of reconsider that, that's like some of the mindset that I go through, right, or went through. Do I, like, I never want someone to feel that way, right? And so that was kind of like my hesitancy. And I think in my hesitancy I came into it and made mistakes in that, like, No, this is your person, right? Like, yeah. It doesn't matter what you call it. My wife is definitely a lot more than just, like, a wife. She's an artist, alchemist, all these, like, she's changing the damn thing. It's, like, the most amazing person, if you ask me, right? Yeah. And, helps sail this ship more, like, just gives us direction and everything like that. But I think that I just want to acknowledge that I've definitely not been as good as Anthony has, it seems like, in saying, let me check with my wife first, right? Like, I say it in my head and then I don't always do it, and then that has led to, or I'll, like, allow myself to get pushed in a particular direction, and then I have to live with those, like, decisions to, yeah, to not just, like, pull myself out of a situation. And, you know, there's all the excuses in the world that a person can make, right? Like, I need to make sure I keep my job and blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, this is a, there's a professor I kind of look up to who, he is in the world of education. He's like, I can get a gig. Like, there's other teaching jobs available in the world, right? Like, that could happen again. But if I don't pay attention, right? Like,
right.
You know, it, you don't want to harm the relationship and create a terrible thing at home because you make an employer happy or whatever the thing is.
Yeah.
Which is a tough thing to balance, I guess.
I mean, that's, so kind of back to last week's conversation about frameworks. You know, that list that I shared with you was in order of, you know, the things that on any given day I wanted to have time for. And at the top of that list, at the very top of that list is my marriage, followed by my family.
Right.
Which they kind of exist together and apart, because, again, just kind of revisiting that conversation, the relationship that I have with my daughter flows through the relationship that I have with my wife. They intermingle. And so, you know, I want to be a good dad, but for me, part of being a good dad is giving my daughter a picture to see of marriage.
Yeah.
And if she doesn't see that first, then I'm failing. And so, you know, anything to me personally, when I look at it, when I look at that job or I look at that thing, like, if my wife doesn't take the highest seat in terms of human relationships, then I really need to reconsider that decision. So I mean I know so many people who are just like, you know, they'll choose work over, you know, over their spouse, and do so knowingly, right? Yeah. Or choose a an event over time spent at home, because, you know, you show more love and esteem for your favorite sports team than you do the person that you're bound to. You know, like, when we look at marriage, I think that marriage has to be taken seriously. Like, don't get me wrong, it's not all like rigor and, you know, being tight-laced, but you are literally, like, you cradle somebody else's life in your hands and in your decision-making. The fact that my wife's well-being and quality of life is directly tied to the decisions that I make and the things that I do, the language that I use, the emotions that I express. Man, like, if we don't take that seriously, then why are we even doing this?
And I think that is why we're doing it. If I had to pinpoint a reason why this podcast is even a thing, right? Yeah. It is to, because in being in conversation with you, right, we're able, at least from my perspective, we're able to elevate ourselves and reflect in a way, like, we both write and we both reflect, and that's helpful. It's very helpful. It's incredibly helpful. But to be able to be in conversation with someone who is going through similar things and has a similar, like, perspective and values similar things, right, is helpful in that it allows you to push. But also, we differ in some things too.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Allows us to elevate how we do the thing, and I'll just say, right, like, that the decisions I make after this school year will be, is my, I mean, and right now, right, are better than the ones I made a year ago,
right?
Because I'll admit and whatnot that I allowed the fear of not having a job, or the fear of whatever, of not being good enough to move beyond, and not, like, believing my wife and that I'm good enough to do whatever, put me in a position that has since had, like, multiple negative impacts on the family, and because it's a challenging place to be. And to kind of go back to your point of, like, being the lens that your daughter or my two sons sees marriage and relationships through,
yeah,
right, I want my kids to see us have disagreements, right?
Yeah.
But I also I also want them to see us, like, be playful and hug and make jokes and, like, have her rip me a new one and, like, just, you know, the whole gamut, but also with the perspective that we're, right, you have your saying onward, right? The one tattoo that we both have is this little thing with our initials into an arrow, which, like, the only direction is up, right? For, like, we have to just keep that trajectory going. And that's the thing, right? It's and if you don't mind, I'll return to this sticky note. So on our first non-date, my wife and I, we went to an art show. And at this art show, there was a, like, the artists had their own little spaces where they were working, like, on the work. And so at someone's desk, there was a sticky note tacked to the wall and said, "We should fight." And so in the first day of our relationship in that direction, that phrase, "We should fight," became a thing for us. And yeah. It was like mostly tongue-in-cheek, just like joking, right? "We should fight. Like, we should fight." And
yeah,
but it's evolved into, no, this is like, we should fight for this vision of what this life looks like. We should fight for this marriage. We should fight for these things that are important, right? We should fight for the injustice in the world, right? We should fight for the things that we value. And I think in, like I was telling Anthony, it's engraved on the inside of my wedding band. It's kind of at the root of my wife and I's relationship, is that these things that are worth fighting for, we should go for head on.
Yeah.
And that
that's good.
This is my person to do that with, right? Yeah. Like that, to get uncomfortable and to get outside of an old frame, to get outside an old framework and to get outside a old perspective of myself, to elevate myself to the next level for my family is essential. And, something I'm damn thankful for, right? Because more so, oh, raccoon walking down the driveway. More so than anybody in my life, my wife's been honest and pushed me, and in the best of ways. And and I think that relationship, our relationship, has been more helpful than any, and just going through that, our relationship so far has been more helpful than any advice, any self-help book could be. Like, just to be in relationship.
Experience itself. I tell people, you know, whenever the conversation arises, there are two instances where I feel like I learned more about God than I ever did. And the first was when I became a husband. Mm-hmm. And the second was when I became a father.
Right.
And you know, there's you have to enter into the relationship, and you have to enter into the marriage with, and I'm gonna go ahead and use this buzz term, with you know, with a growth mindset. I think that's important. I think that you have to be willing to take criticism. You have to be willing to admit that you have room to develop, and that you don't have your shit together. And I think you have to be willing to do that on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Every day is a day for inventory. Every day is a day to reflect. Every day is a day to take the qualms and the, you know, and the good times with a grain of salt, and see, how you can improve the next day. If I had to kind of pinpoint my kind of outlook on being a husband and being married, I use a culturally unpopular model. A lot of people they take their issues, and I understand why, but they take their issues with the fifth chapter of Ephesians, where it talks about, like, wives submitting and husbands, you know, in their role or whatever. But I think that when you dissect it, it doesn't look the way that it sounds. Mm-hmm. And it's really, really pretty. But the husband piece is, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. So this is going to pretty much sum up everything that we've done and that we've talked about with the Dead Man's Coffee Club. what does that mean? Like, well, what did Jesus do ultimately? He died, right? So in my daily interaction and in my daily pursuit of my wife, there has to be various levels of mortification that take place. I have to be willing to die to myself, to my desires, to my emotions from time to time. I have to know, or yeah, I'm terrible at this piece, but I have to know when to say things and what to say. You and I talked about communication for a minute, and I'd be the first to admit that I don't always know, or I historically have always said the wrong things at the wrong times. But I'm getting better at that, I hope. If you're listening, correct me if I'm wrong. I look at it that way. I look at marriage as another layer of my dying to an old man and becoming a new and improved and better man on a daily basis. You know, that is my role as a husband. My role is to lay down my life for my wife in every way that I'm capable of doing it, even though I definitely do that to a fault. You know, I do it to an extent where, like, sometimes, like, Des will just stop me and she'll be like, you know, you matter too, your emotions matter too. And in the back of my mind, I'm just like,
you have to go.
I'm like, no, I'm fine. nothing matters. I'm just, you know, whatever. Like, I take that so seriously, and I'm learning even now after, you know, nearly 6 years of marriage, I'm learning how to balance that. I'm learning what that means within the context of marriage and not just kind of this, like, you know, lone crusader sort of thing where, like, again, me just being such an honor-bound individual, like, I have to know when I don't need to fall on the sword.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when to actually, when the right time is to deny myself in such a way.
Good stuff, man. I agree with what you're saying.
I don't know. I lost my train of thought, I guess I'd say. I'm just trying to think, like, is there any advice that someone's given me, like a specific thing that I thought was helpful? And I think most people, when they give advice, they mean well.
Yeah.
I guess that's kind of the idea. Or they mean well, they want to tell you their opinion or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm sure, like, somewhere we have something from our wedding where people were like, gave us all this advice about things to do and whatever. We had a map, a big world map, and we're like, tell us places you've been or places to go or where you're from or whatever. And I think maybe that's the closest to that we had, but I don't know. I'm definitely younger in the not game of marriage, the experience of marriage than you are.
Yeah.
Which,
I mean, honestly though, like, just kind of talking about advice that people have given us, let's be honest, man, like, I don't think that disqualifies you or discounts your experience whatsoever, because there are people who've been married 20, 30 years up on us.
Yeah.
And it don't look pretty. You know, like, so, yeah, just to interject, time ain't nothing but a thing. I think it's just a matter of your heart and your mind in regards to how you plan to and are pursuing the thing.
Yeah, I guess to jump back in, thank you. There are people who can exist in a thing for a long time, and it just stays the same. And I'd say, I think this is something I was thinking about is, and maybe I already said it, and correct me if I did, but the I try and make this as clear as possible to my wife and my family. Right, my family, like, I'm specifically talking about my sons. The reason I wake up so gosh darn early, and I might need to get the baby in a second, is because I need to evolve. And because I'm committed to evolve for the rest of my life. And because my wife and I have a vision of what we're going to create with this life. And because I'm going to go get the baby. One second. I'll be right back.
Yeah, man.
Sorry.
Dude, you're good. This is real life, people.
Yeah.
Is that a person? Do you know him? Can you say hi?
Oh, my goodness. Good morning.
It is early, Dad. Why am I down here? Why is the light on? Why is the window open? It's cold. Okay. All right. I'm going to keep talking.
Go for it, man.
Because... All right, people. Youngest is with me right now. I guess what I was getting into, and maybe I'll remix the edit a little bit because I was fumbling and stumbling over my words, is that the reason I get up so gosh darn early, and the reason where I think this podcast is valuable, and the reason I train with heavy things is because of him and his big brother and his mom.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And because there are very few things in my mind that are worth getting into a physical altercation. Right. There. And yet, this whole world will burn down if someone attacks them.
Yeah.
That's just what it is. And, I pull no punches, right? Like, I will not let anything happen to them. And obviously, like, the actions that I've made in my life haven't always, like, been perfect. And sometimes I thought something was going to work out, and then it didn't. And, like, I have to eat that and admit to that. And then it has an impact on them that I did not intend. But the intent is always to move in a direction that positively impacts them so that they can have a life where they can be creative and they can... So one thing I kind of talked about last time, but I haven't talked about really, is this heart that is around my elbow. The north one is integrity. To the east, we have strength. To the west, we have courage. To the bottom, we have love. Those are some things that I think are really, these are values I think are incredibly important. And I hope that my boys and my wife, because I wouldn't have children if it weren't for my wife, right? Not only do I have this guy, my biological son, but I have my super son, my first son. And I am so lucky to be his dad, to be his pops, because my wife allowed it first and then he allowed it second, right? He allowed me to fill that role, but it would be literally impossible without them. And I will go through a brick wall. I will wake up early. I'll stay late. I'll do the things
I have done the things that I thought were necessary, right? And it's yeah. become clear to me that there might be some different things that I have to do to yeah. improve that further, right? Like, I can see the... Let's see how he feels about this. Nope. There have been some things that I've made, or things I've done that have maybe not had the impact that I thought was going to happen. And I've had to eat those and kind of remix, refine, and where we are right now, where we're heading, we're course adjusting, as you know, they say. Do you want to say hi now? No, not yet.
Nope.
What time do you have to head out this morning?
Probably in about like 20 minutes or okay. so.
Cool, cool.
Yeah. Oh, this is good.
It's a real deal, people.
Yeah, and I'm really happy for these conversations because they, again, allow perspective, and they allow for perspective outside of what you, you know, have generally accepted as being the truth. And you know, it's certainly something that like has added to my day and to my life, like the notion of like you said about that sticky note about you know, we should fight. I think that also applies to, again, when you were talking about even you know, why you wake up early and why you do the things that you do. You know, yeah, like together with your wife, you are fighting for your relationship and your marriage. But the beautiful thing is that you're even doing that before her day gets started. You know, you are fighting on a personal level for the whole, and I think that's something that's worth looking at too.
Yeah, go ahead, keep going.
You know, those habits and those things are not simply for our benefits, and when they only benefit you and I, then they ought to be reconsidered.
And that's when they kind of fall to the wayside, right?
Right, right. Then you reconsider those things and you choose which ones need to continue and which ones don't. I've had to make the conscious decision over the last couple of weeks. Do I stay up another hour with my wife or do I wake up early? And, you know, while it's quite the opposite, you know, I will opt, and I have opted over the last couple of weeks, to spend more time with my wife, than to wake up early. So, you know, sometimes it is a thing that, you know, you're not up before the enemy, you know, making your battle plans. Sometimes you are in the trenches with the person that matters the most, making that thing work.
Right.
And so, you know, it's we have to be conscious and mindful on a daily, minute-to-minute basis even. You know, the decisions that we make right now directly impact our relationships with our wife and our children.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so instead of creating habits for yourself just to say that you've created these habits.
All right.
Because I know that, you know, I take a, selfishly, I take a level of pride in waking up early and doing the things.
Because it looks cool on Instagram, man.
It does. It looks really cool on Instagram. And when people, you know, brag on you, you feel good about yourself. But at the end of the day, you know, we have to constantly call into submission our reasons for doing things, our whys. And if there's not a valid why, you should really kind of stare that thing down until something gives. You know, if you're just waking up early for the sake of waking up early, and not for the benefit of your wife or your children or your well-being, so that you can continue to love and support them, then think about why you're doing it. Don't just blindly develop habits and things in the name of your relationship, but for your benefit alone.
Yeah.
You know, make sure that everything is intentional. Intentionality will dictate a lot of the fruit that comes from your marriage. Be present. You know, that's one thing that I've been learning over the last couple of months is, you know, my time lately with my girls has been very limited because of work, right? And so I can choose to be a dude and come home, kick my feet up, and drink my beer,
right,
because I've had a really hard day at work.
Right.
Or because my wife and daughter matter more than my long day at work, I can choose to be active, to be present, to be there, and to muster up what it takes to engage. So I think that that's something that is necessary for our relationships to flourish.
I agree, man. I think yes, my foot has been broken for the last couple of months, but it's also like such a great opportunity to slow down and think about what really matters. And I'm reminded of the late Chris Moore, who said his goal was to be a good man, capital G, is what he said. And the other reason why for me is to be useful. And for those, you know, kind of ways, or in those, with those intentions, right, sometimes training isn't the thing. Sometimes an extra half hour on the tail end of the day, or an extra tail end in bed with your family in the morning with your, you know, is the important thing. Or maybe, you know, or to spend a little bit more time reflecting on where you're at will lead to you being more useful. And so, like, for myself, for the last month or so, I mean, I'm not trying to ignore your text, man, but, like, you know, I'm just kidding. But, like, I've been trying to put my phone down when I get home.
Yeah.
Like, it automatically goes on do not disturb at 9, but
that's awesome.
I've been leaving it places. Like, I tried to just, like, let it go, for the most part. I'm not always great at it. Like, the car is still a place where I will wander into scrolling land and, you know, have to come back from. But also just writing, drawing in the morning has proven to allow me to, like, for a while I was writing, like, daily blog posts, right?
Yeah.
And whether it was for the Movement Hive or for whatever, it was not for me. It was not for my family, and it was not benefit. It just turned into a thing on my checklist that I had to do, or felt I had to do. And it wasn't, so I can, it was turning into this, like, philosophical conversation where I don't know how much value is actually coming from it, right? It's like great ideas, and it was good writing, I thought, but was I evolving? No, I was just saying what I needed to say, not what, or I was saying what I thought needed to be said instead of writing and reflecting and like crossing shit out and like circling shit and like getting messy with ideas that are important. Hey, buddy, that's Anthony. Can you say hi? You have an Uncle Anthony too. No, his head's on my knee. Let's see.
Oh, hey, good morning. Say
hi. Oh, there's lightning. Nice. Can you say hi?
Nope.
You look like you love science.
This person.
Yeah, but I don't know. I think we're closing in on like wrapping up a decent little thing, but
yeah.
And we'll revisit this, folks, but it's
so many times in the future, but
because I think we've both kind of naturally identified this show, this hour, that this is a great deal of why we are doing it to begin with.
Yeah.
Is, you're saying hi, aren't you? Oh, now you don't want to. This is why we do this, right? I don't care if you don't like the fact that I went and picked up my son because he's crying. Aww. And that,
yeah.
Yep. And that I'm stopping mid-sentence for him to wave at the FaceTime. Listeners, I'm sorry if that's not professional to you. I don't care, right? Because
you can go and listen to Joe Rogan.
Yeah, right. But this little guy and his big bro and his mom are why this exists, right?
There, yeah,
I would just be another bro who lifted weights if you know, and I didn't have a whole lot of context to put into practice these ideas, right? Because if you'd like your core values to be tested, you go ahead and get married and have kids, right? Because it's a perfect opportunity daily.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Sometimes testing your discipline and, like, being disciplined and all that stuff is part of it. But also, you know, finding ways to laugh even when you're sad or frustrated or whatever, or finding... It's a perfect opportunity to evolve, and thus, the Dead Man's Coffee Club.
Yeah.
You want to wrap it up, dude?
Yeah, man. So, again, to all the mothers, to our wives, to our mothers, to anyone listening, happy Mother's Day. Husbands, I just hope that this is a call to just really assess why we do what we do.
Assess everything.
And to look at it, you know, under a magnifying glass, and to be intentional. Get out there. Love your wives ferociously. Love on your families. And have a good week. Thanks for tuning in. And we'll see y'all next time on the Dead Man's Coffee Club.
Achoo.